Program Tuesday is today. Is today the first day of spring? Did we miss the spring equinox last night? I think so. We were talking about death and destruction last night. Oh damn! I hate it when that happens, don't you? First day of spring, and the weather, of course, is one of the big stories. Not the weather, like, you know, just idle chit-chat, but the weather, like, big things are happening. I know it's been weird, I'm sure, in your part of the country. Here in North Georgia, it's been astonishing, the heat records that have been set. But the more important thing to a lot of us down here is the pollen count. A pollen count of 110 or 100 is severe. And our pollen count is approaching 10,000. And it's, you know, setting record after record that way, too. And it's going to, we learned on the nightly news tonight, it's going to be worse over the next 3 or 4 days. And it's having an effect on me, as you can tell. People who suffer from pollen allergies, it's even worse. I don't have allergies. I have just reactive, you know, to this stuff.
Well, it's an allergy, Mike.
No. It's bronchitis kind of stuff. But anyway, all of this climate change and the violent storms that have killed scores of people this spring, winter. I mean, it hasn't been spring. We have had just come through a season of winter tornadoes unlike anything ever. And so I'm cruising around the web today, and I see this thing from a CNN meteorologist where she's trying to explain what's going on. And the reason I was looking around, I heard some of the weather people on the new newscast here in North Georgia today talking about wacky weather. Wacky weather. Oh, and wacky weather. It is, but damn, you know, like it's kind of cute, kind of goofy. Wacky weather. Hey, she's real wacky. He's wacky. Weather's wacky. Wacky, 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 wackadoo, wackadoo. What the hell does that mean? Wacky weather? This is death stuff. This is end of the world stuff. In fact, that's why the evangelicals, the religious crazy people don't get too upset about this. It's just further proof that, you know, God has decided, or somebody's decided, to smash everything to pieces. But anyway, you know, to me, that's nonsense. And to most thinking people, that's nonsense. But anyway, I'm going through this, go to CNN, and they have something there, the Climate Prediction Center. I guess that's from the U.S. Weather Service. But they're saying, CNN is saying, that the 90-day temperature outlook is going to continue way above normal temperatures. These temperatures aren't going away in the eastern, southeastern, southwestern U.S. It's going to continue. And the little blip on CNN says March has been plagued with everything from record-setting severe weather events to high temperatures and even plenty of western snowfall. Since last Monday, there have been 1,500 high-temperature records set or broken across the U.S. That's in a week. 1,500. And no reprieve over the next several days. Record-setting highs The Great Lakes, upper Midwest, 40 degrees above normal. One of the interesting photographs I saw today was ice. I grew up on the Great Lakes. I grew up on Lake Erie. And every winter, the lakes, the Great Lakes, all five of them would freeze solid, pretty much. Lake Ontario would be a little strip. Maybe it wasn't frozen. Maybe a tiny piece of Lake Erie. But frozen solid to the extent that one of the things we did, one of the stupid things we did as teenagers would drive our cars. Well, I didn't have one, but, you know, friends would. We'd drive them out onto the ice and on Lake Erie. And you'd get going as fast as you can, which wasn't very fast, because you couldn't get traction. But then you'd slam on the brakes and turn the wheel hard to the left, and the car would just spin and spin and spin and spin. And, yeah, occasionally somebody would get hurt severely. But nobody ever fell through the ice and drowned, because the ice was just very, 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 very thick. And sometimes Lake Erie would freeze solid. It's not a deep lake. Lake Erie, so much of it is 4 feet, 7 feet, 9 feet deep. You're not aware of that unless you have a depth finder on your boat. And you don't realize that this huge lake is very, very shallow. And the pictures I saw on one of the networks tonight showed the Great Lakes in 1979 at this time, frozen solid. And then the Great Lakes now, no ice. Nothing. Now, of course, there's no, you know, there's no global warming. There's no global climate change. That's just some liberal bull hockey, right? Chicago, high temperatures at or above 80 degrees for five consecutive days, setting a record. Same thing happened here. We've gone seven consecutive days now of 80 plus temperatures. That's a record that goes back to 1907. Fargo, North Dakota, 83 degrees. So, I'm getting to a point here. Just hold on. CNN reports the temperature records have been shattered across the central and eastern U.S. West has been plagued with just the opposite. Heavy rain and snow. A heavy snowstorm hit the southwestern U.S. over the weekend. 3 feet of snow across northern Arizona. 36 inches of snow at the Arizona Snow Bowl ski resort. Blah, blah, blah. So, here it comes. CNN meteorologist Sarah Dillingham writes, so what is responsible for all these extremes? The jet stream! There you go! It's that darned old jet stream! La Nina! Or El Nino. No, La Nina has almost completely returned, she writes, to neutral conditions, so this is not technically a continued result of La Nina, but, you know, it's the jet stream. The very warm winter the country saw in 2011 and 2012 just ended. Winds up being the fourth warmest on record. And this could be a factor which has led to our above normal temperatures in the east. Mild winter kept the Gulf waters warmer than normal. How many times have you heard that? Gulf of Mexico, the waters are very, very warm. Ooh, here comes hurricane season. Uh-oh. Here it comes. The jet stream. Well, I am so relieved to hear that the cause of all this is the jet stream. For several terror-filled moments there, I thought that, no, this is a result of global climate change, planet heating. But Ms. Dillingham at CNN blog says, no, it's just, don't worry about it. It's just a jet stream. It doesn't mean a thing. Go back to sleep. The Occupy movement is starting to stir once again, although it has not been dormant over the past 4 months. And as a result, the police action against the Occupy movement is stepping up. This is going to be a rough spring and summer. And a lot of it's going to be played out in the streets of this country. And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of head-busting and a lot of arrests. This hour, by the way, is being sponsored by Diana in Florida. She writes, Dr. Judith Hand, evolutionary biologist, animal behaviorist, and pioneering peace ethologist, describes her vision for the abolition of war on her website, afww.org. And would it surprise you to learn the solution involves empowering women? Read more in her books, A Future Without War, and Women, Power, and the Biology of Peace. And check out her entry at Wikipedia, Judith L. Hand. Thanks, Diana.
These people, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hours. Lee in New York points out, though, of course, it is the jet stream. Climate change is redirecting the jet stream. Of course. Saturday night was police violence occurred at Liberty Plaza. In New York, Zuccotti Park. Wait, I'm starting to lose my mind. Liberty Plaza is that New York or is it D.C.? No, that's New York. That's New York. In the aftermath of that event, Aldrin is reporting. Many in the movement have referred to this, what happened Saturday, as traumatic. Some occupiers are regrouping in Union Square. And now this is, I'm sure this may have changed by now. I think this was Monday, and today's Tuesday. They're forming an impromptu occupation in that more populated, raucous park, Union Square. If you know New York, you know how much fun it can be there. This is going to result, if they do this the way I'm sure they will, a kind of public gathering that will be much more difficult to completely uproot. The People's Library and various information literature desks that were features in the original Liberty Plaza occupation are back, as well as the mosaic of signs that add so much color to this occupation. The pushback against New York City Police Chief Ray Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg's aggressive police tactics, according to Alternet, against Occupy Wall Street activists seems to be gaining ground. There's action planned over the next several days, and it's going to spread. It's going to continue to develop. If anybody who thought that the Occupy movement was going into some sort of a dormant stage and was not going to come back, you know, you have to be out of your mind. But Saturday night was another example of how the police in the United States have been cracking down on the Occupy movement. And as reported at Democracy Now!, there was an interview with Ryan Devereaux. Ryan Devereaux is a Guardian of the UK reporter and a Democracy Now! Correspondent. And Amy Goodman interviewed him. Amy said, let's begin with an update of what took place on Saturday night. So Ryan Devereaux reports it this way. On Saturday night, protesters had been in the park since about 1 in the afternoon. It had been a day that had been marked with some tension, but also a lot of joy. People were really enjoying the opportunity to be in the park again to talk to each other, meet new people, discuss issues. At about 11:30, though, a representative from Brookfield Properties, which owns Zuccotti Park, said that he was working with the Brookfield security made an announcement that people had to leave the park because they were violating the rules. I asked him what rules they were violating. He said they had brought in sleeping equipment and erected structures in the park, and these are violations of the rules. He made his announcement via megaphone, but it was drowned out by protesters. And I should say that the structures that I witnessed were a tarp that was strung over a cord tied between two trees. And protesters also had symbolic tents up on poles that they were carrying around. It wasn't as if they'd created a tent city in the park or anything like that, according to Ryan. He goes on, but the protesters decided to stand their ground and the police moved in. And it was rows upon rows of police officers coming into the park through the front entrance, coming down the stairs, and the protesters, dozens of them, who chose to stand their ground, were gathered in the center of the park. Their arms and legs were locked. They were sitting in planters right there in the middle of Zuccotti, and the police moved in to break them apart. It was a violent scene, by just about all accounts, police ripping protesters apart from each other, people being dragged across the ground, multiple reports of young women being pulled by their hair across the ground. I saw a young woman writhing on the ground in pain with a white-shirted police officer over the top of her telling her to shut up. It was really gruesome. I talked to a lot of people who were there on the eviction on November 15th, and they said that the course of the day, the interactions with the police and the protesters, Saturday were the most violent they'd seen. What was really disturbing, this incident with a young woman named Cecily McMillan, who suffered apparently a seizure. She was handcuffed in the street sidewalk near the entrance to the park. She was on the ground. Videotape shows her to be convulsing. You can hear people screaming to help her, to call 911. Witnesses that were there said it took about 25 minutes for an ambulance to arrive. People were really disturbed that there were hundreds of cops and there was no paramedics. Also disturbed by the fact that you see a number of police officers standing around this woman as she is convulsing. No one seems to be doing anything. The paramedics who finally got there said she easily could have died. She was taken from the scene by ambulance to a local hospital. More on this when we come back.
Because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
This hour is being sponsored by Diana in Florida, and she wants you to check out Dr. Judith L. Hand, H-A-N-D, who, like Diana, is an evolutionary biologist. She's an animal behaviorist and a pioneering peace ethologist. And Dr. Hand describes her vision for the abolition of war on her website, AFWW.org, AFWW.org. And as Diana writes, would it surprise you to learn the solution for the abolition of war involves empowering women? Read more in Dr. Hand's two books, A Future Without War and Women, Power, and the Biology of Peace. Women, comma, Power, and the Biology of Peace. And you can check out her entry at Wikipedia. Thanks, Diana, in Florida. this hour's sponsor. So back to the eyewitness report of what happened at Zuccotti Park. Ryan Devereaux, who is a reporter for The Guardian, the UK, and a Democracy Now! Correspondent, he describes what happened and gives some detail about what happened to Cicely McMillan, who apparently suffered a seizure. A woman who is has been part of the Occupy movement, I think, since its beginning, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, Amy then says, did they take the handcuffs off of her? And Ryan Devereaux says, eventually took the cuffs off, but it was quite some time that she was on the ground convulsing in handcuffs. People were screaming to let her loose, take the cuffs off, stabilize her. People felt like it didn't seem like the officers knew what they were or what they needed to do to handle her. Amy, is she in jail now or the hospital? Ryan, she's in jail now as far as we know. Attorneys with the National Lawyers Guild are particularly concerned because, despite repeated efforts, they haven't been able to speak to her. These attorneys have told me that in most cases, it would be easy for them to speak to a potential client, speak to someone, you know, who's in police custody but has been hospitalized, but these efforts have been stopped. It's unclear exactly why. Well, let me interrupt here, if I may. I think it's fairly apparent why. Is that Cicely McMillan is being identified as a leader. Whether she is or not, I have no way of knowing, but she's being identified that way. And as far as the cops who stand around while somebody is convulsing, I have seen similar situations. I've seen it. And it's part of this thuggish arrogance. Now, let me state up front, not that it matters, you know, I am not anti-officer of the peace. I have had peace officers in my family. I am pretty fairly anti-cop right now because, for a number of reasons, not the least of which, most of these people, you can tell they are just over-steroided to the point where most of them don't have their own minds about them. Take a look. I mean, Jesus Christ, what do you need to see? What do you need to see this steroid use? See, this is never talked about. They talk about baseball players or football players or sports figures using steroids. But just next time you see a bunch of cops standing around, take a look at them, especially the special weapons and tactics team. I mean, they have upper arms as big as my waist. That's not from lifting weights, folks. That's from junking themselves up with drugs. You know it. I know it. Let's just talk about it, okay? So, and the steroid use will make you crazy to begin with. And I've often wondered what kind of person, I'm sorry, I wonder this. No, I'm not sorry. I wonder what kind of person goes into a police operation and gets into these paramilitary units like SWAT teams or these commando units. I mean, if you're going to do that, why not join the military where you'll be fighting against people who are armed to the teeth like you are? But to dress up in all this combat gear that these cops do and march down a city street in the United States to bust up on people who are exercising constitutional rights of freedom of assembly and freedom of speech. How dare you, goddamn people? How dare you? You know what I'm saying? How dare you? You bunch of thugs? Who do you represent? Don't give me this protect and defend crap. Not when you look like that. With your grenades and your flash boom and your gases and your sprays. And these white-shirted bastards in New York City who walk up to women who are protesting and spray them in the eyes with pepper spray. How dare you? Man. So, to the people who show up at a peaceful demonstration in these armored vehicles, and then you all come roiling out of the back with your grenades and your guns and your knives and your backpacks and your canteens, for Christ's sake. Where are you going? Into the jungle? And your combat boots and Bowie knives and helmets and thug masks and scopes and lights and dimmers. Where the hell are you going? You're in Midtown Manhattan, for Christ's sake. If you want to play that, take your steroids and join the military. They'd love to have you in Afghanistan or wherever the hell we're invading next. But you're going down to bust heads on a bunch of people who are legitimately protesting. You make me sick. You just turn my stomach. So a woman is thrashing around with an obvious seizure, and you just stand there. That's the point I was trying to get to. They just stand there. Look, look at the woman. Oh, yeah. Why don't you help her? No, man, I don't do that. And then, of course, this filthy media, if somebody dies because they have a seizure or an asthma attack or whatever, and these monster goons standing around with all their high-tech suppression equipment strapped and attached and clipped to their bodies. If somebody dies, then the media can say, well, you know, protester died. Of course, protester shouldn't have been there. Says so in the Bible. The militarization of cops in this country, I don't know if you've been paying attention or not, have you? Do you see what passes for a police unit now? Huh? We had a guy here in north suburbs of Atlanta the other day. Got pissed off about something. Took his 8-month-old child and went into his apartment after he had showed up at the rental office, leasing office with a handgun. Should he have had a handgun? No, hell no. But this is Georgia, man. Are you kidding me? Please. And went in, locked himself in, wouldn't come out. So they declared it to be a hostage situation. And it was in one of the close-in Atlanta suburbs. And for the next 10 hours, I mean, traffic was diverted. Helicopters, armored personnel characters, or carriers, cop vehicles, armored vehicles, people dressed like they're going into goddamn World War III. It was unbelievable. There's a guy in a building with his 8-month-old kid. And you'd thought we'd been invaded by, I don't know, somebody from Jupiter. Oh, eventually the guy came out, just said, yeah, all right, here. But I digress. The militarization of local police departments is just, I don't know, man. There's all kinds of money for that, isn't there, huh? Got all these block grants to take your average cop, pump him up with steroids, make him look like some grotesque beast from some science fiction movie, armor him, give him all kinds of weaponry. Guns, knives, bullets, bangs, clubs, sticks, sprays, pepper this. And then send him down to break up a peaceful, nonviolent demonstration. Hitting people, clubbing people, stepping on people. Oops, did I step and break your fingers? Oh, I'm sorry. You shouldn't be here, should you? So how much more, huh? Back to Ryan Devereaux, the police in Zuccotti released a video that they claim shows this young woman who went into convulsions hitting an officer. Let me ask you, truth seeker, especially you right-wing dorks that listen to this program. If you are out someplace and somebody comes up and starts pushing you around, what are you going to do? Well, you right-wingers would probably collapse in a puddle of pee and just beg for mercy. But some of us don't do that. Some of us fight back in a situation like that. Some of us, honest to God, even though we know we're up against a force that can just drive us into the ground, some of us actually fight back. And if Miss McMillan did fight back, oh, the big, bad, steroided up cops. Oh, she hit me. So I had to club her to the ground. I mean, damn.
Progressive Talk. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. You know, there's a way to be a cop and to do your job effectively, and you know, showing up like you're going up against the Genghis Khan when you're up against 150 people who are quietly protesting or loudly protesting. It doesn't make any difference. Nobody's doing anything bad. They're protesting. They have a right to do it. And to show up in force like that. I wonder why mayors of these big cities and their chiefs of police and their police departments, especially the special squads. We have a squad down here called the Red Dog Squad. I wonder why they don't understand yet that you can use all the force in the world. And when you're up against committed young or younger people who are doing exactly what they know is morally and ethically correct, do you think cops and city administrators, do you think those people are just going to run like scared bunnies because you show up with your militarized police force? Are you kidding? Oh, you can bloody their heads. You can break their bones. You can arrest them. You can put on those goddamn plastic handcuffs just so tight as to cut off circulation and hurt like hell. We all know about that. Is that fun? Is that a fun thing to do? Huh? To take a 19-year-old girl or a 19-year-old guy and cuff him like that or cuff her like that? Is that fun? Do you like to do that? Do you like to pick up 18 and 20 and 23-year-old women by their hair? Do you like to cuff people, their hands behind their backs, and then pick them up by their wrists so they're in absolute agony and you're dislocating their shoulder blades? Is that fun? Does that make you feel like a man, Mr. Cop? Does that make you feel good? Quick answer, yeah, of course. But there is a way to police. There is a way to protect the rights of people who are protesting and protect the more sacred rights of the property nearby. There's ways to do that. There have been volumes written on proper crowd control, proper response, respect. There's no respect. Back in the day, it was these goddamn dope-smoking hippies. What is it now? What is it now? Yeah, I'm angry. Every time I see these pictures, I see young people, once again, you know, young people in the streets. Once again, here we are again, you know? Standing up for real liberty, real ethical behavior, real moral conduct. Not this crap that comes from every single one of these filthy Republican candidates and their religious insanity. Not the crap that's pouring out of the Obama administration with all these new laws and rules and regulations. And, oh, I'm going to sign this. I'll put a signing statement with it. Of course, you know, I can lock anybody up now anytime I want or the Justice Department, but I won't do that, you know, but I'm going to sign it anyway. Really. So it's bad enough, isn't it, to watch the corporatism, the fascism really taking over and to see the resistance. Once again, always, here they are. Here come the young people, the people who have more moral authority in one raised fist than the entire goddamn New York City Police Department has with all of its SWAT teams. And you know that as well as I do. You know that. You know that. I'll tell you, the day that forces are joined in this country, when finally people who have been and are being oppressed racially, socially, sexually, politically, when those barriers finally come down in the minds of those disparate groups and they unite, you can bring all your SWAT teams you want, and that group will roll over you. I'll guarantee you that. This hour has been sponsored by Diane in Florida. And she suggests that you check out Dr. Judith Hand, evolutionary biologist, animal behaviorist, pioneering peace ethologist, describing her vision for the abolition of war. And you can get a synopsis of it at her website, afww.org, afww.org. She's also the author of two books that suggest that the solution to this madness is the empowerment or the empowering of women. Two books, A Future Without War and Women, Power, and the Biology of Peace. And also in her entry at Wikipedia. Diana, thanks for the sponsorship this hour. Right, we have a break, and then we'll come back. We have more to talk about here. There is a conference, or has it already? I guess this is over the weekend. I got way behind here for a number of reasons, but more on Occupy, and also Prairie 2's report tonight and a couple other things when we come back. So stick around, and we'll chat further. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. This hour is being sponsored by Jill. Her nickname is Poppin' In. Poppin' In. Mike, can't think of a better birthday present of myself than to sponsor this hour. Wish I could sponsor hours, days, weeks, months, and years. Say hello to the chat room crew from me, Poppin' In. I love that name, Poppin' In. Oh, I see her last name. All right, Jill, thank you very much. Poppin' In. Jill is our sponsor this hour. Happy birthday, Jill. From Prairie 2. Ta-da! Grab your pitchfork and light the torches. With a crash of thunder, a bolt of light in the night. Wait a minute, let me start over here. Prairie 2 is getting way too literate here. I remember when he just used to write dry economic stuff. Now he's like a novelist. Here we go. Are you ready? With a crash of thunder, a bolt of lightning in the night has caused Paul Ryan's budget monster to rise. rise from the operating table to begin its reign of terror across the land. But don't give up hope. The brave villagers of the Senate have vowed to not let the monster get past them and into the world. Meanwhile, back at the castle, things are not going so well for Dr. Franken, Ryan, and Count Boner. Only his orange SPF 500 allows him out in the daylight. A crowd of teabag Igors have them cornered and are demanding the evil creation be rebuilt to their liking. It seems the monster is not vile enough, not cruel enough, and not sufficiently mad enough for their liking. They believe they control the castle and know what terror is best for the village. Even though the proposed budget will totally screw the middle class, taking an axe to food stamps, college education, Medicaid, and Medicare, this is not enough for the hard right. You didn't think there could be a fight more hard-hearted, you didn't think there could be a right more hard-hearted than Paul Ryan, did you? The current plan, the budget plan, the Republican budget plan, the current plan features a 35% tax cut for the rich. And is revenue neutral by cutting deductions. Deductions that favor the middle class, whose tax rate won't go down. Medicaid will be underfunded via block grants to the states, who will be cut loose to provide for their poor or let them die in the streets. The majority of Medicaid now goes to nursing home residents, who will find their Medicare drying up as well. Medicare will be converted to a voucher system with fixed government payments to pay toward private insurance. This will simply make it unavailable to seniors without the means to make up the difference. The very elderly or the very sick simply won't be able to afford the premiums of private insurance. The phrase, being afraid of outliving your retirement savings, that so-called investment counselors now throw around will take on a whole new meaning. A whole new meaning. You won't outlive your savings by all that much. Supposedly, this draconian measure will be payoff for 10 years. It seems people under 55 don't realize they will need to retire or believe that they will surely win the lottery by then. This budget will immediately bring back the corporatization of Medicare with billions and billions of dollars of giveaways to Medicare Advantage, where the advantage goes to private insurance companies and not seniors, who get screwed when it comes time to use it. The good news is that none of this will happen for now. Our fate now depends on whether or not Karl Rove and his howling super pack of wolves, financed by the billionaires, are able to steal the congressional election. We are being lulled into a false sense of security by the clowns running against Obama. Rove has been able to pull off an 18-point swing in the Elizabeth Warren poll numbers, putting her way behind in a Senate race that she should be able to win easily in Massachusetts. Rove and his super PAC could also swing state and local races. Our only advantage is that the teabaggers continue to assert their control of the Republican Party on a local level, and it could simply fall apart. But if the billionaires own enough of the candidates, do parties really matter? PrairieNumeral2.com. It's pretty astonishing what the right wing political leadership is attempting to do. And what is more astonishing to me is the passive cow-like attitude on the part of middle-aged, middle-class right-wingers who, for some incomprehensible reason, don't understand what the leadership of the party they claim allegiance to is going to do to them. What is wrong with you people? Why don't you wake up? You don't have to become a Democrat. You don't have to be a liberal. You don't have to be a progressive. You don't have to give up your funky religion. Why don't you just wake up and realize, though, that your leadership is trying to cut your goddamn throats? That's all. That's all I'm suggesting. Do you not see it? You can continue to be your whatever brand of conservatism you have, but you have to do it by cutting your own throats and the throats of people who desperately need help? Is that what your religion and your political philosophy has taught you? To be selfish, greedy punks like this? I mean, really? I've studied your culture. I've studied your religion. I've studied your voting patterns. I've studied your just monumental insanity. And you blow me away. I just don't. You're going to allow your leadership to provide massive tax cuts, more massive tax cuts to the super wealthy, a tribe to which you will never belong. You are not going to be Steve Jobs when you wake up in the morning. You are not. And you're going to let them do it. More tax breaks for the wealthy. More cut on domestic spending. I watched some of these speeches going on right now, these crowds of brain-dead individuals standing in front of Romney and Santorum, you know, cheering about ending what these pigs call Obamacare. I mean, are you kidding? Do you not know what it is you're talking about? Or do you understand it fully? And you are just so self-righteously evil and nasty and mean because you know you're never going to make it. So you don't want anybody to feel any comfort. Is that what it is? Is it the dog in the manger thing? You know your life is just a miserable sump hole of disappointment. So you want everybody else to be the same? It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be a Democrat. You don't have to be a liberal. You don't have to think for yourself. Just why are you continuing to cut your throat? Is it 30 years of Limbaugh? Is it Fox? What is it? Crickets. Crickets. We'll be back.
Tonight, how much he hates these people. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, more or less. Now, contrary to what Prairie 2 said, I just got an update here from Reg at TVNewsLies.org via Chris Saliz's The Fix or The Washington Post. Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren is back with a slim lead over Scott Brown in a new survey from the Public Policy Polling, which is a Democratic-leaning firm, 46% to 41%. A string of recent polls, and this is what Prairie 2 was referencing, had shown Brown pulling ahead. And Saliza writes, the race will almost certainly stay very close until November. So, a little update there on the polling in Massachusetts. I got a snail mail. I got a bunch of envelopes the other day that came to the P.O. box. And one of them is from, have you heard of this group? They're writing to me on a regular basis, Eve's Resistance Army. I love it. Eve's Resistance Army. I can't give out any addresses because I haven't been asked to, but it's Eve, as in not Adam. Eve's Resistance Army. And I received from them a piece from Sacramento Bee from about a week ago. And the reason I'm bringing it up, not tonight instead of church night, is because this is, when I hear these right-wingers talk about gutting everything, Paul Ryan or Santorum or the rest of these right-wing bastards talking about gutting all the social services safety net and that the churches or volunteer groups should take care of stuff. Oh, come on. Oh, my God, come on. But that's what they say. You know, 330 million of us, and these clowns think that we're still back in our invasion and occupation stage of coming to this continent, you know, where there might be 10,000 of us. I wish you people would just go away. Just shut up, all of you. You make no sense. But Eve's Resistance Army has sent me this. The Catholic Diocese of Sacramento no longer will fund programs at an organization called Francis House. It's a nonprofit agency that serves homeless people. Now, why won't the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento continue its decades-long support? Well, the new director, the Reverend Faith Whitmore, who is a Methodist, her views are supporting the right of a woman to have the privacy to make a decision for an abortion if necessary, and the right of two people to, of the same gender, if they want to, form a marriage contract, not one that's blessed by any organization other than the state of California. Yeah, that's her crime. Her name is the Reverend Faith Whitmore. And in a letter last month, the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento said that because her personal beliefs clash so furiously with the teachings of the Catholic Church, they were going to pull funding. The homeless people can go eat mud. You see, this is Jesus at work through the Catholic Church. Huh? The Reverend Michael Kiernan, the social services director for the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento, said, quote, "It is impossible for the diocese to continue funding Francis House as part of its annual Catholic appeal," end quote, because of the personal views of the Reverend Faith Whitmore. Jesus would be proud of these people, wouldn't he? Huh? Jesus would step right up and say, "Way to go! Way to go, boys! Kick her ass! Kick her ass! And those homeless freaks! And the sick. Way to go, boys. That's great. I love you. I love you." Each morning, the Bee reports dozens of poor people line up at Francis House in Sacramento's homeless service epicenter on C and 14th Street for help with basic services such as housing and transportation. Now in its 42nd year, the organization is one of the largest homeless service agencies in the Sacramento area. For at least two decades, Francis House has received annual donations from the Catholic Diocese ranging from $7,500 to $10,000, said Michael Miller, a member of the agency's corporate advisory board. Now, the Reverend Whitmore, who's the United Methodist minister, I used to be a member of that congregation, not hers, but that denomination, I should say. She took over leadership of Francis House April, a year ago, after the sudden death of the longtime executive director named Gregory Bunker. And since she took over, the Catholic Church there apparently has just, I don't know, they're just running around with their heads on fire. And there's more on this. I'll share with you when we come back. But I want to finish this article that Eve's Resistance Army sent me. Share it with you, and then you tell me if you think that the Catholic Diocese in Sacramento is doing the work that Jesus commanded his followers to do. You make the decision.
You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came, because every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets
in the earth's blue.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malone.
Five before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Jill. Mike, can't think of a better birthday present to myself than to sponsor this hour. I wish I could sponsor hours, days, weeks, months, and years. Say hello to the chat room crew for me from Poppin'In. Love that name. Oh, I see. I see her last name. Okay. But Jill, thank you very much. And happy birthday. So, Sacramento Bee of March 8th, a couple of weeks ago, the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento has decided to defund a homeless organization, Francis House. The diocese doesn't contribute that much, $7,500 to $10,000 a year, but the reason the Catholic Diocese is doing this is because the new director, the Reverend Faith Whitmore, in the first place, how dare she be a reverend? She's a female. That's got, I'm sure, the the leaders of the Catholic Church in Sacramento very pissed off. Because don't forget what Paul said, that women should shut up in church and sit quietly in the Jewish tradition. But the Reverend Faith Whitmore, within her own denomination, the Bee reports, has been a strong advocate of people of the same gender being allowed to form marriage contracts if they want to. In 2008, during a short period in which gay marriage was legal in California, Faith Whitmore openly defied church law by marrying same-sex couples. She has said publicly that she supports a woman's right to obtain an abortion, which essentially means she supports the right of a woman to have a private consultation and procedure with her own physician. In an interview prior to the writing of this article in the Bee, Reverend Faith Whitmore called the diocese's decision to discontinue its support surprising and disappointing. She said, quote, I've never represented any of those positions on behalf of Francis House, the positions that she holds herself. She is the former senior pastor of St. Mark's United Methodist Church in that city. She said, quote, I was speaking as an individual. So for me, this decision came out of the blue, end quote. Now, in its letter to Faith Whitmore, the Sacramento Diocese said it respects the work Francis House does and cannot expect every organization it supports financially to, quote, actively promote Catholic teaching, end quote. The letter went on to say, though, however, we can expect that they or their leaders not publicly oppose Catholic teaching, and that, unfortunately, is a situation in which we find ourselves, end quote. A spokesman for the diocese, Kevin Eckery, said the decision to drop Francis House as a beneficiary of the Pastoral Center's annual fundraising appeal stemmed in part from public confusion about the agency's affiliation with the church. Ooh. Although, you see, Francis House was born at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Parish in Sacramento. It has long been non-denominational and is no longer part of the church. But, oh, the Archdiocese of Sacramento is so afraid that people in Sacramento are going to get confused and think that because at one time there was a link with the Catholic Church, there still is. Suggestion, morons, rent a sign that says you're not affiliated. Oh, never mind. The spokesman, Kevin Eckery, said, quote, a lot of people still think Francis House is a Catholic charity, and some of them are concerned that the Reverend Whitmore's views are a, you know, reflection of those of the church. So, rather than clear this up, we are just going to be the rat bastards that we have become and withhold funding. Homeless, schmomeless. Who cares? What's important are those little clusters of cells. And how dare a woman declare that she has a right to privacy? Are you kidding me? No money for you. Mr. Eckery said he was unsure whether the diocese had even received any complaints about its donation to Reverend Whitmore's agency. He said, quote, but if we haven't had one yet, we could get one. We like to get out in front of things. He said that. He said that. So I just ask you, truth seeker, I don't care what your political point of view is. I don't care what your religion is. But you all know what Jesus said about the homeless and the poor and those of the least of you, as you treat them, that's how you're treating me. Is the Catholic Archdiocese of Sacramento, California, acting in the benevolent nature of their Redeemer, Jesus? I mean, is this really, seriously, I'm not trying to be a smartass here. I'm just, this kind of stuff just freaks me out. Because the woman who runs this organization has some personal views, the Catholic Church strikes like a viper, like a snake. Eckery, the spokesman, noted that the Catholic Church is, quote, the largest provider of charity in the country. So there, you can just see him, can't you? Just clucking. We are the largest provider of charity in the country. So don't give me all this, oh, the poor homeless here in Sacramento. I mean, for heaven's sake, so to speak. Then he went on to say this. It's the diocese money and they get to decide how they spend it. Really? Wasn't there something about Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple? Wasn't that one of his first acts when he was trying to explain to people what he was about? And now this filthy, nasty man with his filthy, nasty attitude says, it's our money. We get to decide what to do with it. If we don't want to give it to some organization who's run by this woman, then we won't. And if there are homeless people lining up every morning, well, maybe the YMCA will take care of them, huh? Maybe the Jews will step up. Are there any Muslims in Sacramento? Why don't you people help out? We've had enough. We are good Catholics. We don't do this. I just wonder if this is what Jesus wanted. A spokesman for Francis House said that the board of Francis House stands firmly 100% behind Reverend Faith Whitmore. The board in a statement said, quote, she had some big shoes to fill at Francis House, and she has done that very well. The statement went on to say that the agency really appreciates the diocese's support over the years. but the issues raised in their letter are not our issues. The spokesman said, we serve the poor. We don't have a litmus test for homeless people when they come in. We don't ask them for their position on a woman's right to privacy or choice or gay marriage. We just help them. But for whatever reason, the diocese made those issues a higher priority than the mission. Not only that, folks, but they made them a higher priority than the directive from Jesus. Astonishing. How does that, you know, I asked some questions earlier tonight. How do you people of the right-wing persuasion continue to vote against your own best interests, whether it's economic or social or whatever? But, you know, how does the Catholic Church in various instances, and this is one of them, conduct itself in direct opposition to what Jesus ordered them to do? How is that decision made? Did the priests and the bishop or whatever, I don't know what the power structure is in the Catholic Church in Sacramento, but do they sit around and say, okay, let's see how we can screw up the Redeemer today? What can we do? What do you say about the way you treat the least of these among you is the way you treat me? Let's rip that to pieces, huh? I mean, do you do that? That essentially is the result of what you're doing. How do you call yourself Christians if you do that? I don't understand. I mean, I really can't get my mind around that. When I was a member of the Christian faith, me, Mike Malloy, I never heard this kind of stuff. Whether it was Baptist or Methodist, what I heard, of course, this is 1,000 years ago, I heard people within these churches who really believed in helping other folks. What in the hell happened to you Catholics in Sacramento? What happened? Scared beyond belief, way down in the shadow.
Radio, it's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, and this hour has been sponsored by Jill, aka Poppin' In. Jill writes, Mike, can't think of a better birthday present to myself than to sponsor this hour. Wish I could sponsor hours, days, weeks, months, and years. Say hello to the chat room crew from me, Poppin' In. Thank you, Poppin' In, and thanks for the, or thanks, Jill, thanks for the sponsorship. That's great. Poppin' In. Happy birthday, Jill. So, that pretty much is it with this this piece sent to me by Eve's Resistance Army from the Sacramento Bee of about a week ago, 10 days ago. Reverend Faith Whitmore at the Francis House, and who has had not a lot of funding, but it's kind of the idea. $7,500 to $10,000 a year the Archdiocese of, or the Diocese of Sacramento was contributing, and they've said, nope, that's it, no more. Because when Faith Whitmore took over, word got out, of course, that she respects the right to privacy, that women are entitled to the same degree that men are entitled to. And she respects the right to form contracts sanctioned by the state or authorized by the state, not any church, because churches are too weird. Contracts, marriage contracts, authorized by the state of California, whereas the Catholic Church sticks its large ass right into that constitutional protection and says, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah, but Catholic Church, this is not people getting married in your edifices. This is people forming contracts as authorized by the state of California. Doesn't that matter to you? No. Oh, okay. So, because Reverend Faith Whitmore believes in privacy and the right of people to make contracts, the Diocese of Sacramento has decided to disrespect everything that Jesus ever allegedly, and boy, do I use the word allegedly, advisedly, everything that Jesus ever taught these freaks, they've just said, nope, ain't doing it. Well, I guess you have a right to do that too. But why do you call yourselves followers of Christ when you do something like, what did Jesus say about same-sex marriage? Crickets. What did Jesus say about a woman's right to privacy? Crickets. What did Jesus say about any of the stuff that you freaks are beating up on people about? Crickets. So, one last shot from Reverend Faith Whitmore. She said the funding hit, quote, is not huge for us, but is nevertheless significant, especially in this economy. And she said also, quote, I feel strongly about the positions that I have taken. They're consistent with my commitment to justice. So I would never take back anything that I've said publicly or privately. End quote. So, I realize it's a purely rhetorical question, but just something to think about, right? Thanks to Eve's Resistance Army for sending this to me. Send me more, girls. More from Eve's Resistance Army. Keep it coming. But the question, you know, the question I had is purely rhetorical because, you know, we're not sitting across from each other. We can't chat about this, not really. But whether or not the move by the Sacramento Diocese of the Christian or the Catholic Church is really, if this is the way it should be done, if their Redeemer, their Savior, were alive and standing on a street corner in Sacramento and or walked into one of these Catholic churches and said to the priest, would he, or to the bishop or archbishop or whatever the hell it is, I mean, would their Jesus say to them, hey, good move, guys. Way to go. I really like that. I respect that. That's the way, you know, just hammer this woman into her place. How dare she have personal views while she continues to do what I told her to do. I told her to feed the poor, clothe the naked, visit the people in prison, take care of the hungry. How's the homeless? I told her to do that, but if she's got personal views that you folks don't like, just smack her. Smack her right upside her damn head. Go ahead. I like that, boys. I like that. What were you giving her? $7,500? Smack her. Take it away from her. She'll make it up somebody else, somewhere else. Maybe somebody else will give it to her, but you good Catholic priests up here, just take it away from her. That's the way. Way to go. Way to go, guys. Do it, do it, do it. Don't you hate uppity women? Huh? And what is she? She's a Methodist? Ooh, well, you know, the Reformation and all that really pissed me off, frankly, boys. I never said anything because I was dead, but, you know, that really pissed me off, that Martin Luther. Is that what Jesus would say? I mean, would he? Is that what this is all about? I don't think so. I just don't think so. I remember what I learned about the Christian Messiah, and I don't remember that part. It's because it wasn't there. Stick around. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Being sponsored by Pterodactyl. If you knew her, you would know why. That's her name, Pterodactyl. She's also the honcho at the website RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. It's a great website. You ought to check it out. RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Pterodactyl is our sponsor this hour. And she writes, I sponsor this hour in solidarity with Mike Malloy and the essential remedy of truth he injects into the corporate-owned body politic. Ooh. All those who hear this message and believe in the dreams of our founders should take action by doing the same. Join the class war resistance. Pterodactyl from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Check out her website, RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Thank you, Tara. Last night, you'll remember we did a brief version of Shock and Awe. It's funny, I got a couple of emails from a couple of people that said, oh, what a cheesy thing to do. Yeah, well, you're right. I wonder if they felt that way about the actual bombing. But anyway, from Robert, I was quite taken by your replay of Shock and Awe last night and found it very thought-provoking in many areas. I applaud and thank you for the horrific but valuable necessary reminder of the decisions and actions of what some of our sociopathic, disturbed, soulless, greed-driven, lying, manipulative, supposed Christian politicians who mercilessly planned and executed this massive, unforgivable crime less than a decade ago. Could Shock and Awe be a warning by the warmongering and or the multinational enablers that says, this is what will happen to nations and the leader of nations that won't cooperate and surrender to demands of the great fossil fuel gods and will not let them pillage innocent foreign nations' natural resources? The Shock and Awe replay also reveals the ignorance of those who support right-wingers in that Iraq did not attack us on 9/11. As many who are not glued to Fox are aware, most hijackers were reported to be Saudis, with a few from other Arab nations. Or how about those who complain about paying taxes? Do they approve of the trillions that will be spent in years to come resulting from the destruction and rebuilding of an innocent nation that did not pose a threat to the U.S.? Have they even considered or even recognized the medical expenses that will accumulate attempting to reverse the effects of war on our troops who have suffered irreversible physical injuries and mental trauma? And continue to ignorantly complain about how much a teacher makes, or revolt at union members who earn a living wage, weekends off, and maybe even a paid vacation? Or how about the so-called American exceptionalism right-wing cliche that's repeated despite the past Bush administration that willfully orders the killing of hundreds of thousands of innocent people? And then Bush, so very ignorantly and arrogantly, says years later, sometimes money trumps peace. I couldn't figure, but what's the point? After listening to you for years, I'm confident you know what point I'm trying to make. Thanks, Mike, for the reminder. Robert. Yeah. Yeah. We just won't face it. Well, like I mentioned beginning of the program, Occupy Movement is going to force America to confront it. There is still, I guess, some of these elections, these primaries have been called at this hour, but, I mean, some of the voting has been called. I'm not going too much by what I see on the screen here. But anyway, Rick Santorum, did you hear about this? This past weekend in Louisiana, Rick Santorum, accompanied by a brown shirt familiar to most people, not SS yet, just a brown shirt, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, they were in Louisiana, and they went to the Greenwell Springs Baptist Church, a font of hate and contempt if ever one existed, as evidenced by what occurred there. The leader of this clutch of maniacs at this church is a Dennis Terry. And the hatred that he burped and vomited from the pulpit against gay people and Muslim people and Buddhist people, the latter of whom he suggested don't really belong in America, it was just, it's another example of Rick Santorum. This guy is, I mean, this is a real religious sociopath. I mean, beyond anything that I think has ever run for president. And as Alternet reports, it's no secret that Santorum thinks gay folk and transgendered folk and so on and so forth are perverts. How else do you explain his famous man-on-dog quote? Remember that? And we know that he thinks Satan has America in its sights because the nation's institution don't conform to Santorum's sick, twisted version of his own religion. But man, this weekend, at this hate-filled Greenwell Springs Baptist Church, where they were rocking and rolling in the audience, they were just applauding and cheering bigotry and hatred, divisiveness, contempt, just spewing hate. You can imagine if their Messiah was awake and looking down at this little font of evil, what Jesus, their Christ, would have said. You know, you people are doomed. You people are doomed. And there they were. Tony Perkins, the leader of the religious brown shirts in this country, and Santorum, and this crazed Dennis Terry, the pastor. Right Wing Watch got video, and it's at alternet.org. You can see it if you want to. The leader of this group, of this nest of haters at this terrible, terrible, evil little church, this Pastor Terry, he was talking about lesbian and gay people and marriage equality, and he said, quote, as long as sexual perversion is being normalized, somebody needs to stand up and say, God have mercy on us, God forgive us. He went on to say, I don't care what the liberals say. I don't care what the naysayers say. This nation is founded as a Christian nation. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. I'm tired of people telling me I can't say those words. I'm tired of people telling us as Christians we can't voice our beliefs, and we no longer pray in public. Listen to me. If you don't love America, if you don't like the way we do things, I have a thing to say. Get out! And, of course, at that, his Jesus-filled, loving audience rose as one and applauded long and loud. We don't worship Buddha. I said we don't worship Buddha. We don't worship Muhammad. We don't worship Allah. We worship God. We worship God's Son, Jesus Christ. At that point, this nest of vipers stood up and gave this freak a standing ovation, and so did Santorum. Man, If ever there was a force of hatred, you know, it's so funny. I get labeled that a lot. Most of my rage is reactive because I hate to see what the right wing scum, whether it's political or religious or so, it doesn't matter what they're doing to this huge tribe of 330 million people here for their own twisted, perverted ends. But if you want to see real hatred, if you want to see real hatred, walk into one of these fundamentalist Baptist churches of a Sunday morning when you have sitting up on the stage somebody like Rick Santorum and a brown shirt leader like the head of the Family Research Council, and then somebody spewing hatred, biblical hatred, like this preacher. If you want to see the underside, the dark, hate-filled perversion of what the carpenter from Bethlehem had to say all those years ago, go to a Baptist church in the South on a Sunday morning.
It's misery, and can't you see how weary and how sad? How disappointed I am after the golden chance you've had. Those soldiers are somebody's sons, their father's uncles too. If you've been born a second later, that just might be you. Have you prayed for a way to forgive your latest enemy? Well then do not do it in my name, yeah, don't blame it on me. Yeah, please don't do it in my name, don't.
No abuse.
Well, some abuse, but it's targeted. 21 past the hour. Cliff writes, Mike, when you state that you get tired of hearing these white men talking about the rights or lack of rights for women, it makes me think of the restrictions on government subsidized abortions, which goes back to the Hyde Amendment. I'm really tired of hearing about the Hyde Amendment as if it's sacred. Remember who Hyde was, Henry Hyde, the guy who led the impeachment of Clinton while being involved in a 20-plus long year affair of his own. Yeah, kind of like Gingrich. Of course. I mean, when it's just a fact. It is a definitive fact. When you hear a right-winger preaching morality of any sort, what that right-winger interprets as morality, whether it is fiscal or social or religious or whatever it is, whatever he's preaching against is something that he is involved in up to his eyeballs. Every single time. Santorum coming out against pornography, I'll bet you he's got a porn collection a mile deep. Anytime you hear these people ragging on and on and on against gay folk, it's because deep down inside, the curiosity that they have about homosexual sex is almost more than they can bear, and they cannot bear it. So they lash out. It just goes on and on. You know this. I know this. Right-wingers don't know this. Right-wingers are involved in total delusion. Complete and total. There's a senator in the state of Idaho, Chuck Winder or Winder. And according to Crooks and Liars, I think, he can't make it any more clear that he wants to save what he calls babies, little clumps of genetic material, no matter the cost to women. First, he proposed a bill that was passed last week in the Idaho Senate that would force women to obtain two, not one, two ultrasounds prior to abortion. First, she has to get a free ultrasound from a non-medical ideological crisis pregnancy center. One of these ones, you know, you've seen the signs. Pregnancy, need help. And then a second expensive, medically unnecessary ultrasound performed by the clinic that does the termination. And now this freak is explaining why he believes abortion shouldn't be allowed for rape or incest. You know, that pesky rape issue about which women tend to lie about so frequently. You know how women lie about rape. According to the Idaho Spokesman Review, quote, in his closing debate in favor of SB 1387, Senator Chuck Winder, the Republican of Boise, said, quote, this bill does not require a transvaginal exam. It leaves that up to the patient and the physician to make that determination. Rape and incest was used as a reason to oppose this. I would hope that when a woman goes into a physician with a rape issue, that physician will indeed ask her about perhaps her marriage. Was this pregnancy caused by normal relations in a marriage, or was it truly caused by a rape? I assume that's part of the counseling that goes on. Was it truly caused by a rape? I don't know how to respond to that. A woman reports a rape and finds out that she is pregnant with the rapist's seed. And this son of a bitch calls it a rape issue. And he hopes that the woman, having been raped, will have to have a physician ask her about her marriage? Was the pregnancy caused by normal relations in a marriage? Or was it truly caused by rape? Boy, this is just no holds barred, isn't it?
I just have to ask, because again, I'm just still so confused over so many of these issues. But if a man showed up at a clinic and he'd been bludgeoned with a golf club, you know, do you think that the doctor, before he'd stitched up his head, would say, now, was this a normal golf game? Are you sure you were bludgeoned with a golf club? Or do you think maybe you just you fell down real hard and we're not going to press any charges?
I know. We'll be right back. Sponsored by Terra Dactyl. Terra from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Check out her website. She writes, I sponsor this hour in solidarity with Mike and the essential remedy of truth he injects into the corporate-owned body politic. Hey, that's pretty strong words there, Tara. She goes on, all those who hear this message and believe in the dreams of our founders should take action by doing the same. Join the class war resistance. Tara from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Check out her website, RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. We're going to be hell raising Tara and Bob Kincaid and me. Not by design, just by coincidence, we're all going to be in D.C. along with other a bunch of other folks Monday and Tuesday. Bob Kincaid at the Head On Radio Network, he'll be broadcasting from there, and so will I. And Tara will be there just to beat up on right-wingers. Malloy says Tara will be there to beat up on right-wingers, advocates violence on his program. Yeah. You ever shop at Bed Bath & Beyond? This, let me back up a little bit. About 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I was talking about depleted uranium that was used in the manufacture of shell casings, artillery shell casings, prior to the first attack against Iraq in 1990, when was it, 91, 92? You know, the Schwarzkopf, the George Herbert Walker Bush event. Highway of Death and all that. Remember that? Nah, who remembers that? And after that attack and invasion and horrendous bombing. This was the April Glaspie, who was our ambassador to Kuwait, and I believe and reassured Saddam Hussein that any argument between Iraq and Kuwait as to oil rights was not something the United States was going to get involved in. The Iraqis had accused the Kuwaitis of slant drilling, which defines itself in the use of the term, and taking on the border and taking Iraq's oil. You know, Kuwait used to be part of Iraq and there was no Iraq and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so as a result of that, the first invasion of Iraq to punish Iraq for attacking our poor little helpless friends, the al-Sabah family in Kuwait. I think it was al-Sabah. Isn't that the ruling king whatever? Just more hog snot, more greed, more stupidity, of whatever. But anyway, the weaponry, the shell casings of the artillery and bullets and all sorts of things that were used against the Iraqis by the coalition partners. This is back when Saddam was, the first time he was accused of being by Pappy Bush of being the greatest threat to world peace since Hitler. Do you remember any of this? Huh? Do you? This is going back 20 years. 20 years. But the weaponry was, or the explosive stuff was encased in depleted uranium. After that part of the uranium had been extracted for nuclear fuel, there is uranium something, something, something left over. And don't, my research department, don't send me anything. I'm just skimming over this. And the material left is very hard. Uranium is a very tough metal, I guess that's one way to put it, or element. Very, very hard to, it penetrates things. It smashes things. So, explosive weaponry was encased in depleted uranium. This was, I think, originally as a tank piercing armor, that kind of, not armor, but it would pierce the armor on tanks and get inside where the meat was and then explode and, of course, turn the meat, cook the meat. The meat, of course, would be other human beings, but that's immaterial to the story. So depleted uranium was scattered all over Iraq prior to the second invasion by the bastard Bush, the unelected president of the United States. And, of course, all the medical reports were all over the place about how this depleted uranium was in the soil, was in the dust, was pulverized. It was all over the country. Just it's probably an exaggeration to put it this way, but imagine a thin film of radioactive dust all over the country. Now the it has to be ingested apparently in order to hurt you. It's not the kind of dust radioactivity that if you get on your skin or in your hair, you're going to die. But if it gets inside you through, maybe dirt on a potato that you didn't wash off properly, or something in the groundwater that wasn't filtered out, if it gets inside of you, it causes cancer and it causes horrendous, unimaginable birth defects. The kind of birth defects that are reminiscent of thalidomide babies or just the most perverted imagination you could come up with. Babies born headless, babies born with limbs extending from parts of their bodies where there should be no limbs. I mean, just awful stuff. Babies born with one eye or one leg coming out of its, you know, I don't need to get that far into it. But this was part of George Herbert Walker Bush's legacy and us. I mean, this is our legacy to the Iraqi people the first time. But depleted uranium, then it turned out that depleted uranium was not used exclusively for the encasement of the explosive part of artillery shells or bombs or bullets, but it was being used in commercial enterprises in the making of, say, lawn furniture. And somebody pointed out, well, this stuff is radioactive. Well, it won't hurt you unless it gets into your system, unless it gets in through a cut or your mouth or a body opening. But why use it to begin with? Well, because we live in a capitalist society. And if there's all this free or inexpensive depleted uranium, why not use them, huh? So this brings us up to Bed Bath & Beyond. The discovery of radioactive tissue boxes at Bed Bath & Beyond stores in January raised alarms, it says here. This is from Bloomberg.com. Raised alarms among nuclear security officials and company executives over the growing global threat of contaminated scrap metal. Now, I read this article and all the way through, and I see nothing about using the term depleted uranium. What I see is this. Well, the U.S. home furnishing retailer Bed Bath & Beyond recalled the boutique boxes from 200 stores nationwide without any reports of injury. The incident highlighted one of the topics drawing world leaders to a nuclear security meeting in Seoul, South Korea on March 26-27. The biannual summit, convened by Obama for the first time in 2010, seeks to stem the flow of atomic material that has been lost, stolen, or discarded as trash. Really? As U.S. and European leaders tackle the proliferation of weapons-grade uranium or plutonium in countries like Iran and North Korea, oh, them again, industries are confronting the impact of loose nuclear material in an international scrap metal market worth at least $140 billion, according to blah, 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 the Bureau of International Recycling. Radioactive items used to power medical, military, and industrial hardware are melted down and used in goods, driving up company costs as they withdraw tainted products and threaten the public's health. It goes on and on and on here. The company said, Bed Bath & Beyond, in a January press release, it had been informed by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that there, quote, is no threat to anyone's health from these tissue holders, end quote. BBBY, said they had removed these tissue holders out of an abundance of caution. And the article goes on to say that all this nuclear material is being found, but they never mention the name depleted uranium. At least not where I could find in this article. We'll be right back. the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Pterodactyl. Tara at RepublicanDirtyTricks.com, and she writes, I sponsored this hour in solidarity with Mike and the essential remedy of truth he injects into the corporate-owned body politic. All those who hear this message and believe in the dreams of our founders should take action by doing the same. Join the class war resistance. Tara at RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Yeah, join for sure. Join the class war. Don't just sit back and talk about it. Join it. What's your alternative, right? The general public basically isn't aware that they're living in a radioactive world. That's according to Ross Bartley. He's a tech director for the Recycling Bureau. It's international. It's the Bureau of International Recycling. And he said, quote, those tissue boxes from Bed Bath & Beyond are problematic because they're radioactive. And they had to be put in radioactive disposal. Problematic. Yeah, well, you know, it's not that much radioactivity. Come on. Now, again, what this article of Bloomberg attributes all this to, abandoned medical scanners, food processing devices, mining equipment containing radioactive metals like cesium-137 and cobalt-60. All this stuff is picked up by scrap collectors, you see, and then sold to recyclers and melted down by foundries and blah, blah, blah. Dangerous scrap comes from derelict hospitals. What's a derelict hospital? One that's falling down? I guess so. And military bases, as well as defunct government agencies that have lost tools with radioactive elements, blah, 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 blah. It just is huge. Just picture it in your mind's eye right now. And we wonder about cancer rates. Nah, couldn't be that. It has to be the fluoride in the water, right? But chronic exposure to low doses of radiation can lead to cataracts, cancer, birth defects. That's according to EPA. And here's one for you. A study about 7 years ago of more than 6,000 people living in Taiwan who lived in apartments built with radioactive reinforced steel showed a statistically significant increase in leukemia and breast cancer. And, of course, capitalism being the wonderfully functioning economic system that it is, the system that cares not a tinker's damn whether you live or die. In some instances, truly prefer that you do die. But capitalism has produced the reality here that industry and regulators now have to work to define an allowable limit for radiation in products that isn't hazardous. That's according to a draft copy of the new IAEA rules for scrap handlers. So now we're going to have an allowable limit of radioactivity. Well, of course, it's not going to hurt you. I mean, you're not going to eat a tissue box holder from Bed Bath & Beyond. So, you know, a little radiation. It just don't get pregnant. Huh? So this month, this meeting in Seoul, South Korea, the Nuclear Security Summit will deal for the first time with the threats posed by uncontrolled radioactive sources. All the big shots are going to be there, too. 45 heads of state, including Obama, Dmitry Medvedev of Russia, Hu Jintao of China. Some of these guys have been, are soon to be replaced. Well, no, that's right. Medvedev is the president now. The prime minister is back to Putin. Here's another example. A couple of years ago, there was a delivery of radioactive elevator buttons assembled by a company in France that makes control and signaling gear. And the stuff was shipped from India around the world. Employees who handled the buttons were exposed to three times the safe dose of radiation for non-nuclear workers. That's according to France's Nuclear Energy Watchdog. India and China were the top source of radioactive goods shipped to the U.S. through 2008. Well, hell, they're the top source of everything shipped to the U.S., aren't they? That's according to the Department of Homeland Security. and a metallurgist who has tracked radioactive contamination since the early 1990s. Gulf War One. He says that there's no evidence the situation has improved. So, someone who believes in karma or the, I always get it wrong, one of the laws of conservation of energy, matter nor energy can be neither created nor destroyed, or for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, or whatever, just pick one. There's an awful lot of correlation between physics and certain principles in philosophy. And if karma is one of those principles, and if that holds with some of the principles of elemental physics, then we are due for a real ass-kicking. That's the best way to put it, I guess, here in the United States. Now, if you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, in this instance anyway, who knows what's going on at Target or Walmart? Doesn't Walmart get 99% of their junk and crap from China? It's all coming back. So when you get that cute little music box for your birthday this summer, ding, 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 ding. It's real shiny. It looks like polished nickel. You might want to take it down to your nearest university lab and have them pass a Geiger counter over it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.